20th League Cup semi-final, a record in the competition. Arna made 8 changes, academy kids come on. Darwin Núñez with the opening goal, set up by Trent Alexander-Arnold. Brilliant bit of play at the back, lovely through ball. And Núñez is in, goalkeeper slipped and Núñez found the net. 2-0, Cody Gakpo combined with Endo to set up Harvey Elliott with a brilliant second goal. McAllister was denied a third, great save by McCarthy. Then Trent and Joe Gomez went off at half-time. Liverpool made some changes. Endo was brilliant for Liverpool, I thought, at centre-back in the Virgil van Dijk role. Archer pulled the goal back with a brilliant turn and finish. And then he would have equalised, but for a stunning save by Kelleher. We have to mention Kelleher again. What an ultimate professional this guy is. Chiesa could have finished it off with a couple of big chances coming off the bench. We survived a scare at the end when Fernandes went down under pressure from Kwanzaa. But we're into the two-legged semi-final. The holders march on. Southampton 1, Liverpool 2.
So, Liverpool back to winning ways and into the Carabao Cup semi-finals as described there by our commentator Steve Hunter. I'm Matt Smith, and coming up on this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Harvey Elliott. Former Reds Jason McAteer and Neil Mellor will join me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our fan panel, who are also on the programme. Dan Morgan, Josh Williams and Jose Orozco from the official LFC Supporters Club in Costa Rica. First, though, to Nigel Spackman at St Mary's, who watched the game with our reporter, Rob Jones.
Well, Nigel Spackman has watched alongside at St Mary's this evening. Thoughts a little harder than it should have been?
I think second half, because of the changes at half-time that Arna decided to make, and I think he had to do that, give players some minutes on the pitch and give other players a rest. Lost our shape a little bit, could have done with getting a third and then really being cruise control, but credit to Southampton, they never gave up. The conditions were horrendous. They scored a great goal, and then we made it a little bit hard work. But the sign of a good team is you're not playing to 100%, but you still win and you get through in a cup tie away from home. Great result.
Well, we spoke about him pre-match, but a big goal for Darwin Núñez, that, because psychologically he would have been under a little bit of a pressure to score as well as contribute in other ways.
Yeah, I think two big goals for both players. I think for Darwin to start with, you know, he had time over the top. Could the keeper have come because of the deflection? He went back and then he slipped the keeper, which could have put Darwin off as well, but he took the touch and slotted it away. That's just what he needed, you know, one chance, stuck it away. And then Harvey is the same, you know, lovely run, timed his run. Gakpo finds him, lovely first touch, and then hitting it on his right foot. Two really good goals, and we were in cruise control really then, but really important goals and minutes on the pitch for both of those players.
It was interesting as well, we watched the start of the second half and said, not really got going, and it felt like that goal was coming for Southampton, and never really got out of that funk, Liverpool, did they?
No, it didn't, but when you make changes and also you're playing players out of position, because that's what he had to do, Tyler Morton had to go to right back, didn't look 100% comfortable there, where he'd looked really comfortable in midfield. You know, players are coming on. Chiesa trying to get his legs going, getting into the feel of the game. Simicast the same. You know, the first touch wasn't there at times, but grew into the game. So overall, I think, you know, a really good 90 minutes for the team, for the coach, that players have got minutes in their legs. Another good win, but we were a bit disjointed. And credit to Southampton, they kept pushing, but couldn't get that equaliser. And I have to say, Kelleher made that absolutely magnificent save down to his right-hand side.
When we look towards Spurs on Sunday, I think the back five probably feels pretty easy to predict that Gravenberch will be back too, but ahead of that, what do you think that Arne Slot might decide to do?
Well, I think the ones there away at Tottenham, you're looking and saying, well, how do we affect them? They will do the high press to try and put us under pressure. Can we play through them? But at the end of the day, you need someone who can stick the ball in the back of the net. And I just wonder, will Jota be fit enough to start the game? Obviously, you've got Mo back in. I think Cody did really well again tonight, got bought off, but he's got plenty of minutes on the pitch and that balance back in the middle of the park. So a lot of changes for the weekend, but it all depends who comes through this, who can be on the bench and who can be considered starting. But it's a nice place to be, getting players back and getting minutes on the pitch and some muscle back in the legs.
And as for Spurs, could be anything, couldn't it? The way that they've been this season, it could be absolutely anything.
Yeah, it's always a difficult place to go, Tottenham, although I have a very good record there myself. Liverpool have a fantastic record there as well. I hope the referee's up to standard, because some of the games I've seen at White Hart Lane recently in, when we've been playing there haven't been that great. But I think we go there with plenty of confidence. I think Tottenham had a very good win against Southampton at the weekend. They've got a big game, obviously, tomorrow against Manchester United. Who's he going to play? Who's he going to leave out? But I think for us, I think it's just going there and saying, we can get 3 points here. We're better than Tottenham. And I think that's the mentality you've got to take to White Hart Lane.
Nigel, thank you very much indeed. And Nigel alluded to there, as Liverpool head to North London, they may have a little bit of revenge on their mind given what happened at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last season.
Jason McAteer and Neil Mellor are here with me in the studio. And Jason, it was quite hard work, wasn't it? It was tense at the end there.
I think you're right. And breathe, I think, is the right phrase. I think after giving ourselves a really good platform at 2-0 and being in control of the ball and the game, dictating the tempo, they made a lot more hard work of it in the second half. Give credit to Southampton. Yeah. They had a go. And I don't think the changes really helped Liverpool. I think they become very much disjointed, give away possession far too easily. Players were moving around positions, which is always... You've always got to be careful of that, I think, when you make so many changes. I think they'd done all right with so many changes in the first half, but then the subs came on, different positions, they just lost their way, and then... Yeah. And then they got away with it. They got away with it by the skin of the teeth.
They did, with some, perhaps, officiating that... Maybe for a change when Liverpool's favourites towards the end. We'll get to that. But I think goals change games, don't they, Neil? And that goal for Southampton, it didn't half inject life into them and the fans.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in that situation 2-0. It felt comfortable. Liverpool were by far the better side. You just knew that if they were to get the next goal, the crowd would get back involved, the players would start to get up for it, and they'd have a go at it. And they did. You know, they came from nowhere, the goal that got them back into the game. And all of a sudden, the fans who've been absolutely... so frustrated, so down all season, they thought, OK, we're having a go. Yeah. You know, I've actually enjoyed watching Southampton tonight. The goalkeeper's kicking it long, they're cheering that, rather than trying to play out from the back. So there was a bit of a reaction in that sense. Yeah. And they got involved, they had a game, they made it difficult for us. A couple of nervy moments. I think Kelleher deserves a mention on sort of the hour mark. It's 2-1, makes a big save. A minute later, Kwanzaa makes a big block. Yeah. If it goes 2-2 then, you start thinking, could maybe Southampton have gone on and won it? Didn't create a lot second half. Think of Chiesa's big chance. Yeah. That would have put the game to bed. But they always stayed in the game, Southampton. You're thinking they might get one more moment. And it came late on, that sort of 92nd, 93rd minute, when VAR would probably still be looking at it now, because we've got used to that. Thankfully, no VAR, which helped the game.
Yeah.
But it could have had a big part to play in that incident.
I mean, you played a number of positions. I don't know how often they switch you around within games from midfield to fullback or whatever it might have been. But obviously, in Tyler Morton's case, that's what happened tonight. Endo started at centre-half and played some of the time in the middle of the park. Is that difficult for players within the 90 minutes?
If it's not your most natural position, I mean, Trent, you look at Trent, he started off as a centre midfielder, went to the right. So when he drifts into that midfield area, he feels comfortable. I was the same, you know, I played in midfield for Bolton, came to Liverpool, played right back, more of a wing back position, but then got comfortable with that. So if I had to go into midfield, it always felt comfortable. I don't think Tyler's plays right back. I don't think he's ever played it in the sense of that's his position. And he's made it his own. He's a centre midfielder. So to go out on that right hand side was obviously alien to him. And I think he struggled a little bit. And plus, Chiesa on the right-hand side, it took him, you know, a large part of that second half to actually implement or put himself about in the game. It was only the last 10 minutes he kind of came alive, and he struggled, really, which is understandable. He's been out for a while. And, you know, I just to touch on your point, the second half, I think it came a bit of a shock for Liverpool that Southampton went against their philosophy, really. They made it more physical. And I don't know whether the manager, Rusk, has made a point of that at half-time by saying to his players, listen, they've got a few kids on the pitch.
Yeah.
Let's win them second board. They're in a game. Let's be a little bit physical with them. Let's leave a little bit on them. And we might get a bit of a just reward for it. And they did. And, you know, it was... It was a long 45 minutes or 50 minutes, that second half, wasn't it? There'd be players for Liverpool coming off knowing they've been in a battle.
Yeah, I imagine, though, as long as you come out on the right side of it, it's a good feeling, isn't it? It's a relief, but it's also like, OK, we've got through that storm.
I think the massive positive is we've got through, and you think about the key players who've not been involved tonight. You know, you look at goalkeeper Alisson's not played tonight, Van Dijk's not played, Salah's not played, Diaz hasn't played. So there's going to be a little bit of freshness out of a big game at the weekend. So the lads have done great, and it's difficult because some of the lads who've played tonight, they haven't got that rhythm, they haven't got that sort of the consistency in the performance, so it's harder to get going. And they did extremely well to get through. It was never going to be easy. Even at 2-0, you're thinking there's going to be some kind of a reaction.
You felt he needed another one, didn't you? Just because.
Also there was a lot of oddities tonight, weren't there? First time the manager's not been on the touchline to try and organise. He's got his assistants, but he's up in the stand. Lots of players either starting their first game in Harvey Elliott's case, looking for a change in one of the two players playing in different positions. Chiesa coming back. There was a lot of new things or changes tonight from what Liverpool have got into the groove of doing.
Yeah, and for as much as you're on the training ground, not playing football matches, which a lot of these players don't in that first team, it's very difficult to understand the strategy, the philosophy, the tempo, the fluidity of the way they play. I mean, you look at the first team now, I mentioned it before, he's very consistent with that first team selection and they've all got up to speed quite quick. And at times they play some really nice stuff and you can see exactly how the manager wants to play. But tonight, it was 11 players that were basically thrown in together to say, right, let's have a look here and let's see how we play. And at times in the first half, it just looked like we were watching the first team. It was patient. They were picking the opportunities to go long. They were right at it. And they got their reward with two really good goals. But then second half, they just lose their way a little bit. Mm. And like I mentioned, I think that's partly down to Southampton changing their tactics a little bit, being a bit more physical. But, Liverpool, with a lot of new players and subs coming on, it kind of was a disjointed second half.
And playing out of position as well. Look, mentioned about Tyler playing right back. Endo, thought he'd be great at the centre-half. Tsimikas has been out for a while. He comes back into at left full-back. So you're thinking of three of the back four there who've not had a lot of sort of games.
Elliot playing in a few different positions. Nunes starts central, ends up left. And there was quite a lot of jiggery-pokery.
A lot of changes. So to get through that, and you're just hoping there's no injuries, there's no kind of setbacks before what would be a big game at the weekend against Spurs. I think Spurs playing tomorrow is a boost you think about that.
And what team does he pick with Sunday in mind and so on? Can he afford to
We've made eight changes. I don't think Spurs are making eight changes on that one.
I think Ange has put himself under pressure at the beginning of the season by we will win a trophy. He's now got to the quarter-final stage. It's kind of like he can smell it a little bit. We mentioned with Liverpool, didn't we? Top of the show, you get to that quarter-final, you can see Wembley a little bit, can't you? Yeah. He's going to want to win that game.
There's usually a championship team left, isn't it?
Yeah, big teams, aren't they? But Amorim, obviously, he wants to win something to get the fans on side, to get his team moving in the right direction. Yeah. He'll want it as well. That's a big game, that, tomorrow.
It is. Mm. It is. Nice to be in the semi-finals, watching on with interest, isn't it?
It is.
Let's, as promised, bring in our three-man fan panel to get their first thoughts. Dan, Morgan, let's start with you. Were you as tense and nervous as the rest of us?
I think when you get to that level of Liverpool squad players on the pitch come the end of the game, if the game gets away from you, there's a little bit of a lack of control, then you're running the gauntlet a little bit, I think. So, I think it was inevitable, especially when they made a few subs as well, that they'd have a go. I think the game in loads of ways is probably encapsulated by Gerald Quanta. He has probably the game he would have wanted for the best part of an hour or just over, and then there's that goal and all of a sudden you're looking around the pitch and there's not a ton of adults about in terms of Liverpool's first teamers that you'd usually associate. So, I think, again, we're seeing this season that the finding ways to manage games, to play out games. It felt like Endo was single-handedly trying to run the clock down from about 70, to be honest. So it's another good sign for us. It's three games away from another trophy, so I think it's good the players got minutes, and I think for the collective, the squad who've travelled down there, it's great for their morale.
Yeah, lest we forget, the kids won this competition for Liverpool last season, so the kids can be more than all right. Jose Orozco from Costa Rica, how did it look from over there?
Well, I believe it was a really good game. Overall, Liverpool was the better team. And also, another important thing, I believe it was the perfect game to start the youngsters and many players that haven't had many minutes. But overall, the Arne's plan was, I believe it was good. We go through the next round, and also we have no injuries, no suspensions, I believe. So I think we're good then.
Yeah. Josh Williams, if I can come to you. I know you obviously, as part of your following of the team and doing of your job, you look at the data, that the heat maps and the touch maps will be a bit confusing tonight, won't they, with players playing all over the shop?
Yeah, it was a mad one, wasn't it? I think formation-wise, you're dealing in telephone numbers, I think, for this one. players just drifting everywhere, and I suppose Endo, if you want to get all tactical about it, a little bit Pep Guardiola about it, I think Endo was a bit of a false centre-back at times, wasn't he? you know, players just rotating different positions. I think we start with Harvey Elliott on the flanks and then move him inside. Neoni swaps places with him. I think we ticked over a little bit better once that change happened. But yeah, in addition to a lot of second strings coming in and getting minutes, you know, you're dealing in experimental formations, probably a nice way of putting it. Mm. So to come out the other end, away from home, by the way, in terrible weather, with a win, it's all good.
Yeah, with eight senior bodies left wrapped in cotton wool back on Merseyside, I would hope and expect. Dan, important, I would have thought, for Darwin Núñez, wasn't it? Got a nice bounce of the ball and a goalkeeper that fell over just to make sure he could score on this occasion.
Yeah, it was quite telling that our goalie came out to deal with the situation. Their goalie ran back and then fell over. But, you know, he's better than a level player, so, you know, there's that. But no, yeah, look, it's big for him. I think he's done a lot of work for the team, a lot of selfless work. So I think that has to come with goals if you're wearing number nine for Liverpool at the end of the day. You know, it just has to be backed up with goals. And he'll be tired after that tonight. I'm not sure he'll be in the side Sunday from the beginning. I think he's put a lot of running in there. I think there's probably a few minutes more in his legs than maybe they would have liked if they'd have had everyone fit, but he's done a job for the team, and there'll be games for him again, and you know, he's just got to hope that he keeps finding his way in front of goal and just keeps being patient, because you're not getting a ton of chances in that nine position at the minute for Liverpool. You know, the chances are coming from the wide forwards a lot of the time, so it's proven again tonight that the important thing for Darwin is he's got a chance and he's taken it well.
Jose, give us a view from, if not South America, Central America. What's the view of Darwin from your part of the world?
Well, we actually have a lot of faith in Darwin. A lot of people is criticizing him because he often misses a lot of chances, but he also you have to also look at the whole game from him, right? Meaning his movements and how he moves through spaces and how he creates chances as well. So it's very important, that part of the game as well, not only scoring goals, and I believe he will be scoring a lot of goals in the future, no question about it.
Yeah, well, he got one tonight, which is good. Josh, do you think you can be a team player, or does a striker have to weigh in numbers-wise?
No, I think for playing for a team like Liverpool, I think you've got to offer a certain degree of output, you know, when it comes to putting the ball in the back of the net and things like that. But listen, our modern kind of heritage really is built on Roberto Firmino, really, who was kind of a do-it-all forward, who maybe did goals the least of everything. So, you know, you can I don't want to say you can carry players like that. You can accommodate players like that, providing everyone around them is delivering them with goals and assists and things. And I think Núñez maybe offers a little bit less in terms of his all-round game compared to a player like Firmino. I think he's improving on the defensive end. I think he can connect with his midfield a little bit better. I think he can do bits out wide a little bit better. But I think Jose makes a good point. I think his movement has always been one of his biggest strengths. And if he can keep moving like that and keep getting the chances, which in my opinion, I think the chances have been coming a little bit less this season. But if you can keep getting those chances, the goals will always flow. I've been saying that for about 3 years now. But hopefully he'll pay me back eventually.
Let's hope. We'll get Neil's view, obviously, as a Liverpool striker shortly. But let's first start to get some reaction from St Mary's. The Liverpool manager, Arne Slot, has come down from the stands to talk to our man, Rob Jones.
Arne, would it be fair to assess that as really good first half, maybe not so good second half?
Yeah, it depends on what you want to say about the first half. So that was really good, and the second half was definitely not so good. If you say, okay, first half, then it was a really bad second half. So the difference between both halves was a lot, that's true.
Why?
I think it's difficult for me to judge because I was high up in the stands, but the wind maybe had an impact, because in the first half I think we had the wind in our back, and the second half it was against us. Maybe also the playing style from Southampton, they took a bit more risk, they pressed us a bit higher, and we were not able to play through it that much, although, and we were a bit sloppy in the second half as well, where we in the first half, a lot of focus, concentration, kept the ball much better. So maybe it's a bit of both, a bit of us, a bit of them.
For your two goal scorers, you've spoken a lot about what Darwin does for the team in recent weeks, but every number nine needs goals, and it's been a frustrating start to the campaign for Harvey Elliott. So nice to cap the full 90 minutes with a really well-taken goal.
Yeah, both of them scored a good goal. I think it was before our Fulham game that the media asked me about Darwin, his goals and his assists, and two games later and he has a goal and an assist. So that's what football is all about. As long as they work hard, they're always in a position to score a goal or to assist. And today he scored. Harvey scored as well. Nice for him. He's been out for quite a long time. Had an impact when he came in against Fulham, and now again an impact with a goal as well.
Did you learn anything about your younger players tonight from seeing them in full match action?
It's good to see them at this level, but they also face this level in training sessions when they have to face Virgil and Mo and all these players we have. So we know we can trust them. So we have to highlight them, but maybe you're going to ask me your last question. If not, I'm going to come back at it, because Vataendo was not a young player. He's not a young player. He's experienced, but we've put him in a different position than he usually does. And it's such a great mentality and personality and quality if you can play a game like this in a position he's not used to. He was one of the main players why we could win this game, and he deserves all the respect from me, from his teammates, and also from the fans.
Means I can ask you a different last question then, as you've answered one for me, but just before the end of your first 6 months, two games away from a Wembley final is a decent place to be.
Yeah, but a lot of games in between, so we're happy we're still in this tournament, because the club, the players won it last season, so we have to defend the trophy, and that's what we've tried to do till now, and that's what we continue to do in the semi-final.
Thank you.
I like that he doesn't sugarcoat it, does he, Arne? I think he doesn't try and ever throw his players under the bus at all, but he's pretty honest post-match, I find.
I think it's been refreshing, yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen it all season. It was a good first half, and you're in a good position at 2-0.
Yeah.
So at some point, your levels might dip a little bit, and that's where the second half, it did, and that allowed Southampton to come back into the game. But it'd be made up as well that we've seen that out. Mm. You know, the fact that we've made so many changes, the fact that there is some players playing in different positions,
yeah,
and they've found a way to win a horrible game. You mentioned the fact that the crowd were up, the pitch was, obviously the weather was difficult as well, and they've got through.
Did you both, by the way, when you played, have that thing about 2-0 being the terrible scoreline? Was that real? Because that's what people tell me. 2-0 is the worst scoreline in football.
2-0 down is. 2-0.
But they say 2-0 lead is a false sense of comfort, because one goal for the opposition and the anxiety creeps in and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I always felt we, a 2-0 with the team I had, we'd go on and get a third. It kind of like, game on now, we can go out and really try and, you know, implement our style and the way we wanted to play and score more goals. And sometimes that was our problem. Instead of going, right, 2-0's all right, we'll shut up shop, manage the game a little bit better and nick the points. I'd like to see how many times my team was 2-0 up and lost drop points because of it.
What about when you were 2 down?
We come back a few times. We had a bit of character.
Good.
Yeah, we did.
Anfield more so, isn't it? If you're 2-0 down, which doesn't happen often,
no,
you get the next goal, the crowd makes such a big difference.
Yeah. I think you're right about... Listen, there's lots of stuff we can wax lyrical about what he's done since he's come to the club slot, but, you know, the fact that the players, and again on Saturday, you know, they come from a goal behind twice, 10 men, you know, it's the character. And today was, there was a point in that second half where they had to show character.
And it keeps the feel-good factor about, the momentum.
Yes.
We're through to the semis.
Yes.
We're looking forward to going back top of the table at the weekend or extending our lead. We don't know, because when we play Spurs, Chelsea would have played before us. So all of a sudden, there's a little bit of pressure there.
Yeah.
Champions League is going well. Look forward to it. So everything's going well at the moment. And if we'd have got beat tonight, it would have been a little bit of a setback.
Mm.
And you've got to readjust them for the game against Spurs. But everything's
I think you know, we've dropped points against Newcastle. We've dropped points... Arsenal,
Fulham, and obviously the defeat to Forest.
And then all of a sudden you get beat tonight and everyone's like, oh, they're having a bit of a wobble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
then you start Sunday morning in second because Chelsea went on Saturday.
And I think everyone, do you know what, I think everyone's waiting for that.
Mm.
Because it's been so good and no one's had anything bad to say about us, they're waiting for us to fall off a bit of a perch.
Mm.
And you can kind of go, drop points there, lost. Oh, they're having a bit of a wobble. Then all of a sudden it creeps into the dressing room, a little bit of confidence is knocked, and then you've got to come back from that. But I think you're right, that keeps momentum tonight and keeps everyone on the toes.
I didn't get a chance to ask you as a forward about Darwin, where is that balance? Where is that tightrope between being someone that does all the other things well but has to get the goal?
I think Nunes is fortunate because he's not regarded as the main man in attack. When you've got Mo Salah,
yeah,
and he's taken the load for goals, assists, it's less pressure on Nunes to be that contributor. So in terms of goals, they have to be there, but not as regular because you've got someone like Salah who is doing it all the time. So for me, he's still contributing. He's starting games, he's coming off the bench. The team is still winning. And if he's in and around the team and the team is still winning, that's fine. It's when the team aren't winning, when points are being dropped, you start missing the chances. Well, hang on a minute. How many games have you gone without a goal? So at the moment, everything's okay. Tonight would have been great for him. He's got himself a goal. Obviously, the goalkeeper helped the way that that happened. But that's a big boost. He probably won't start on Sunday. But if he comes off the bench and we need a goal off him, tonight would have been great to give him that lift.
Yeah, the problem with him is he's a centre-forward. That's what he is. He's not a Firmino. He's not a false centre-forward. He's a centre-forward. And I think if you're a centre-forward, especially at this club with the calibre we've had over the years, you've got to score goals. You're judged on your goals. Where Firmino, like you said, he had goals from Mane, he had goals from Salah, but he was pivotal in their performances. You know, he was the glue that linked it all together and he was phenomenal at it. And we look at him and don't judge him by his goal scoring record because we didn't have to because the other two, you know, put the goals up there. But we knew he was part of that.
Yeah.
Darwin is not... He doesn't do a lot of his best work outside the box. It's all about scoring goals for him because he's a centre-forward. And he's missed some high-profile chances as well. And I think that's where it's split with him.
And in a similar way, Harvey Elliott isn't naturally a kind of definite I'm this person as a footballer. He's a bit of everything. Can you be a bit of everything and be in Liverpool's team?
Special player. He is a very, very special player. Frustrating for him because he hasn't been able to play much this season because of the injury. I think you saw back end of last season how much he can help the team. In an attacking sense, if you look at Harvey Elliott, he'll work hard for the team, but he'll create chances. He'll influence things. He'll contribute out there and help maybe a Nunes, certainly a Mo Salah when he is out there. So that was a massive boost to see him start his first game of the season and get through 90. I think the goal was a bonus.
Yeah.
But there's going to be lots of games coming up where Harvey Elliott will make a vital contribution. So really, really was a big positive tonight.
Yeah, that is another thing, isn't it? If all those young players, returning players from various injuries and problems, if they've all got through without any problems physically, that's another bonus because the squad's just getting a little bit deeper. There's eight left at home. Yes, there's Bradley and Konate still to come, but slowly but surely that squad's getting a bit deeper.
Yeah, I mean, the game at the weekend, the Fulham game, you know, we always look at the subs to see where we can change it, you know, pre-match. You know, becomes talking points, doesn't it? And for the first time for a while, I thought, oh, that's a really good bench. I mean, there was a point I actually thought that could make a good nine of any team in the Premier League, couldn't it? You know, you could make a team of that. And I thought that's really, really good. Lots of options, lots of different qualities, lots of skills, different skill sets from different players, so he can change it. And he needed to because, you know, we went a man down, didn't we? And we were chasing the game. So, yeah, he had lots of different ideas, and that's great for a manager.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV. You can watch all the latest on-demand and live content directly through your smart TV, whether it's full match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back. We were talking a little bit about Harvey Elliott. Let's hear from Harvey Elliott. Here he is, post-match, the goal scorer with Rob Jones.
Well, Harvey, well done. Through to the next round, which is the main thing. Did you make a little harder work of that than you should have done second half?
I think so, yeah. But, you know, the circumstances that we were in, you know, it was a complete different team. Some lads haven't played as much this season, and you know, we had youngsters in there as well, so I think we need to, you know, take into consideration all of these things. And you know, playing against a great team in Southampton, a very experienced team, you know, I felt like we held our own, and you know, to come away with the win is great.
How big was it for you tonight personally to get 90 minutes in your legs? Because I imagine it's been incredibly frustrating watching the team blazing for the first 4 months and not being as involved as you'd like to.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but you know, at the same time, you can work on things that You know, I needed to work on that. If, you know, I was playing and, you know, with the busy schedule, I may have not been able to work on it as much. You know, so it was a time for reflection, really. What can I improve on? Where can I get, you know, better in areas? And, you know, my job is just to go out and play football. And, you know, when you're injured and you can't do that, it's a horrible feeling. But, you know, you just need to build yourself back up for moments like this. Make sure you're 100%, you know, ready to go and fit. And, you know, I felt good out there tonight. And, you know, I'm just very happy to get the 90 minutes under my belt and keep taking it.
Talk us through the goal, because you found yourself in a really nice pocket of space.
Yeah, you know, especially from that 10 position, you know, it's areas that I play in at England, and, you know, I'm always trying to get in the box and make that forward run. I think last season, you know, playing in that 8 role was a bit harder because you're a bit further back. So being a bit more forward, you know, I need to get in the box more and need to make them forward runs. And, you know, it was a great pass from Cody, and just about me really just steadying myself and making sure I get a good connection, and, you know, happily it went in.
You spoke about some of the young boys there. I'm talking to you like you're old. Obviously you're not, but you've played a lot of games. But a night like that is a good experience to have to sort of guts it out and hold on for the last 20 minutes or so.
Absolutely. You know, so it's a learning curve for everyone, and it's experience for everyone, really. You know, football's going to be like this. There's going to be times when, you know, you're against the ropes, and it's tough during the game, and you just need to keep fighting and defending as a team and sticking together. And despite whether you're young or oldest player in the team, all of these experiences are only going to help you, and, you know, keep pushing you forward. And yeah, we're just very happy to come away with the win, and, you know, we can advance into the next round now.
And for you as well, does it feel like you're coming back to help the team at just the right time in terms of plenty more games to come over Christmas, and you've just added another two-legged semi-final as well to the mix early in the new year?
Absolutely. You know, there's many games this season, and especially with this period coming up, it's just about staying ready now, staying fit. You know, can't have the excuse of I don't have game time because I just played 90 minutes. So it's just, as I said, staying fit, staying ready, and whenever the team need me, you know, hopefully I can do what I did tonight in school.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Cool, calm and collected. I love the way he refers to the young kids being on the pitch tonight. He's 21. But he has played 124 senior appearances for Liverpool tonight.
But he plays like he's got an old head on his shoulders, isn't he? I'm with Mels. I'm a massive fan. I always have been since the moment of seeing him. I love him. Love him to bits. I love his attitude. It's just been a difficult period for him at Liverpool, cementing a place in the team, because we mentioned it in the pre-show, didn't we? Yeah. He gets to a point where you go, play it, and then he gets that injury against Leeds, sets him back. You've got to then come back and get back to that standard, which he did do, and then it's just trying to get in the team, and there was the upheaval of the managers then leaving, then he gets an injury beginning of this season.
On international duty.
Yeah, on international, which
always feels worse.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And then and now he's finding himself fighting to get back into the team as a first-team regular. But the problem he's got as well is the manager has now found a team that he trusts and is flying, because it's top of the league, top of the Champions League. It's even harder then to get back in and cement yourself a place. So he's just got to keep plugging away, because his quality's there. But when he comes on, like you said, he affects it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something comes of him. Oh, he's, you know, he's an honest player, 110%. And he nearly scored at the weekend against Fulham and then gets his goal tonight. He's a talented boy.
Yes.
Talented boy.
Nice problems to have. Let's bring the fan panel back in. Josh, Dan and Jose. I think, Josh, you wanted to make a point about Harvey Elliott. Obviously, he's played 19, got his goal tonight. He can't do much more than that to impress the boss.
Yeah, well, more of a question, really,
okay,
for the studio. So, I agree with everything that's been said so far, actually. I think he's a really creative player, you know, technically good in really small spaces and things like that, and very useful if you can get the most out of him. I think what's interesting, though, is, you know, despite being injured, I'd like to know where people think his future lies positionally, because he starts the game on the flanks. Very quickly, Slot realises that he's not really getting the ball enough, and when he does get the ball, he hasn't really got that dynamic pace to beat his man. So he comes inside, plays as the 10. Harvey mentions that in his interview there. And he scores a goal, and he's effective and all that. But if you think of when everyone's fit, you've got Szoboszlai and arguably Jones ahead of him for that spot. And on the right, you've got Salah, who's always there. And Chiesa, who looks like he's been signed to be as a bit of a support act for Salah when he's fit. So I think when it comes to Elliott, In terms of the near future, like over the course of the next year or so, or even beyond that, you know, where do we see his development in a positional sense?
I think he's fortunate because he has that flexibility to be able to play in different positions. To many, it was a surprise he didn't start the season against Ipswich. Szoboszlai got the nod. Harvey was magnificent in pre-season. A little bit unfortunate maybe not to have started that game as the 10. As the 10, I think he can really influence things. Josh mentioned that in terms of he can play in different roles. The manager's come out and gone, Gakpo's on the left side. So we're not going to see Gakpo in an 8, a 10 or a 9. Gakpo's down that left-hand side. I think for Harvey, he will be playing an 8 at times. He'll be playing as a 10. I think he links really well down the right-hand side with Salah. I think he has a really good understanding there. So I think he's fortunate that as a player, he isn't just going to be, you're a 10. I think he has that flexibility in the way that he plays for the team. Jace, now?
Yeah, I mean, we had that discussion when we were listening to his interview, weren't we? And, you know, I'll be frank and honest. I agree with you. You know, he's not going to replace Mo Salah on that right-hand side because he's got a different skill set to Mo Salah. I think his pace, if you're looking for his strengths, that's not one of them. And then you're looking at where's he going to play in that midfield. He's not the holding midfielder. So he's going to play in one of the other positions, and I agree, Szoboszlai or Curtis. For me, it's between him and Curtis who are going to play, because Szoboszlai, I think, gives the manager that protection and that trust when Liverpool haven't got the ball. He's the one who's going to do the hard yards getting back. That's not to say I don't think Harvey's doing it. I just think Szoboszlai's more in tune with being more defensive than going forward, or he sees danger a bit better than what Harvey does. Harvey's great on the ball, but might switch off every now and again when we haven't got it. Szoboszlai is quite aware when we haven't got the ball of being in the right position and breaking things up. So I think that's going to be difficult to replace him. But I just think there's going to be games where Harvey's going to start because Liverpool are going to dominate possession. Yeah. They're going to need that creative player in that position. And plus, he's good enough to start the game and you can trust him.
Yeah.
But in other games, it's going to be Szoboszlai. In other games, it's going to be Curtis Jones. So I think there's going to be a lot of rotation between the three. And I think there has to be because Liverpool now go deep into every competition. You're looking at 60 games a season. They can't all play.
Well, that's a good point. Dan Morgan, let me bring you in. I mean, players have different skill sets and strengths, don't they? I mean, Harvey Elliott's got a moped and Dominic Szoboszlai's got a Kawasaki 1000 for getting around the pitch. So they bring different weapons, don't they?
Yeah, it's very true. There's not many players who've got the sort of makeup of Dominic Szoboszlai in terms of his athleticism. I think Arne Slot says something really interesting when Liverpool went to Old Trafford this season, beat Manchester United 3-0. He talked about where he pulled Szoboszlai, and he said basically we usually pull him, I think he said right, but on this occasion we pulled him left or vice versa. So that gave a little bit of insight about what he's doing with the 10. You know, that 10 position I've pondered, is it more of an 8 at times? You know, what does the manager want out of that position? I don't think he wants a Frank Lampard 25 goal season number 10, because I think he's got other tools at his disposal, especially in Mohamed Salah and what he's got on the left side in terms of attack. So I think one of the jobs for that 10 is pulling to either flank when they need to. And I think what Harvey Elliott's great at, so good at, you see it again tonight, is just building little partnerships all over the pitch. He's really, really good at making, you know, a flank work for Liverpool, making a triangle, building little partnerships with Salah. Salah loves playing with him, I think. So, you know, I think that's where the variance that Slot will now have from having him fit will be great, because I think what Szoboszlai's been really good at is driving Liverpool into space. Okay, there's maybe been a little bit of criticism about his end product when he gets there. But his athleticism can get Liverpool up the pitch, and like the guy saying in the studio, we can start the press a lot of the time, and that's allowed Liverpool, I think, to defend a bit more 4-4-2 when they've needed to, and etc. and so forth. So I think we're still finding out about what this manager wants in that position, what he wants from that particular player, you know. So I think the more Harvey stays fit, the more game time he gets, we might see a little bit of a variance in how Liverpool build up and attack and play in general with a different option in that position.
Jose, what three midfielders would you be picking for Sunday at Spurs?
Speaking about that game specifically, I wanted to ask you guys one specific question. So it depends on what should be the approach of the team on that game. Should we be aggressive or should we be cautious? Because of the circumstances of the game, right? It's an away game, it's a hard game, but it depends. So I ask you, what should be the approach first? And from there we can talk about the lineup for Sunday game.
Now listen, Jose, I do the questions. You're supposed to do the answers, okay? Just so we understand how this works. I'll pass your question very gentlemanly onto these two experts. What do you think? Cautious or aggressive or both? Is that an answer?
No, I think it'd be brave. Look at the weekend against Fulham. We had 10 men for nearly 18 minutes of the game. And we're brave. We've had a go. We've had more shots, more possession, created more chances. So I think we'll be brave. And we'll have chances against Spurs. Spurs have got problems defensively. The goalkeeper's out. The two centre-halves are out. We will get chances with the attacking players we have. The fact they'll be fresh as well. Yeah. Salah, Diaz, a little bit fresher as well for the weekend. That's good news. The question about the midfield three... That's going to be a problem for the manager at the weekend. I do believe that. Gravan Berg's nailed on to start.
Right.
Great to see Maka back, because he's had a little bit of a breather. Missed a couple of games with suspension. He's looking good. You've got Curtis Jones, you've got Szoboszlai and Harvey Elliott. Try and fit two of them in with Gravan Berg.
Yeah, listen, Liverpool have been excellent on the road, haven't they? And I agree with you. Tottenham, you know, I'm not saying the five... Was it 5-0? Southampton?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that shouldn't flatter them, but... You know, it's come against a bad run of results that they've had, and they've been exposed at times by better opponents, certainly in that defensive area. They do try and play out the back and they do get caught. Liverpool, again, this season, the masters are closing down. I think a good point by one of the guys before, Szoboszlai is very good at starting the press and is very athletic. I think he starts because of that.
So you've got Curtis and Harvey on the bench?
Yeah, okay. I mean, listen.
Well, that has been wrong, broadly but, speaking, is.
But I think McAllister being brought off tonight, he plays at the weekend. And I think Gravan Birch, he plays. I think Liverpool will have more of the ball than you think. I don't think Liverpool go with any other different approach than what they have done to every other away game. I think it's about Liverpool, and it's the other team that's got to cope with them.
Right, Jose, they've answered your question and my question, so you need to answer my question. Who are your three for Spurs?
Probably I will go... Well, McAllister looked really good today, so I will go for McAllister. I would like to see Gravenberch as well with Curtis Jones, but probably Szoboszlai is going to start. So let's see what happens. I do think Liverpool should always be aggressive on their game, and we have to be brave and go for it, right? We have the players and we have the momentum as well, so let's go for it.
Josh, to come back to you, and I'm not pigeonholing you as the data guy, but obviously we've talked a lot about athleticism and numbers of games played, experience, etc., positions. It's hard to measure intelligence, isn't it, in any kind of quantifiable way? Harvey Elliott's an intelligent footballer, I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's virtually impossible, I suppose, to measure that sort of thing. But I think just watching the sport, to be honest, sometimes you can gauge who's maybe a bit of a step ahead in the mind and who's a little bit... I think usually as well, it's usually the players that are a little bit lacking in terms of pace and athleticism who have to think about the game a little bit more and have to be a step ahead, you know, in the brain as opposed to with the feet. Elliot, I think, is one of them. And if, you know, going back to what we said earlier, I think Nunes is probably at the other end of the scale. maybe they can kind of combine a little bit and make the perfect player or something. But Liverpool have got a few of them. And I think when you're playing against a team like Spurs, you know, I've watched quite a bit of Spurs lately, and there's spaces all over the pitch. You know, you know exactly what you're going to be up against when it comes to Postecoglou. And I think Liverpool are a bit more calculated with how they press, in that when the moment's gone, there's an element of retreating into your block and then waiting until the next moment to go. I think with Spurs, it seems to be just relentless full throttle for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you've got players who can anticipate where the spaces are, and players who can receive the ball under pressure and things like that, and then get them in behind as well, because they've always got a relatively high line, you know, you'll cause them problems. And I think Liverpool have got a squad ideal to play against Spurs, to be honest.
See, luckily in the studio, I've got... where Adonis meets Socrates, I've got two examples. The perfect brains and beauty. Is that...
Which one am I?
No, I was suggesting you were both in that.
Oh, thanks, yeah, man.
I don't think any of the viewers are buying it, but that's what I'm selling.
Josh made a great point, because it's going to be a great game to watch at the weekend.
Yes.
It's going to be a great game to watch at the weekend.
I think the bigger question, I know we're asking the midfield, a bigger question is going to play centre-forward. I've got a funny feeling he's going to throw Jota in.
Do you?
I think he might start with Jota, yeah. I mean, I thought he was great when he came on today. He made the chance for Chiesa, should have hit it early.
Yeah.
And obviously scored a great goal at the weekend. I just think he looks sharp. Mm. But I think it's a game for him. I just think if we win the ball high up, you know, with Diaz one side, Jota down the middle and Salah, you've got goals, haven't you? And they're full of mistakes at the back, you're right. And I just think, you know, we could punish them with them three.
Do you like, we got a little glimpse of it on, and it was obviously extreme circumstances. Do you like Jota behind Nunes as a part of a game solution for Liverpool at times?
I think at times. I think he'd give me the choice. I think Jota plays as the nine. Right. And I think you might be right. Is he ready to start? That's the question. Is he ready to start? There's a few games coming up there and you want him on the pitch. So do you risk him to start in the game against Spurs now, and you'd need him against Leicester, against West Ham in a couple of those games as well? So if he's ready to start, he's probably the most natural finisher out of all the attackers we have. I mean, what a finish it was at the weekend. That was a really good finish. So he comes into the manager's thinking to start, but it's also good to have players off the bench. So if Nunes doesn't start, if maybe Gakpo doesn't start, you've got that freshness to come off the bench and keep causing Spurs problems.
I'm Andy Robertson.
I'm Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I'm Virgil van Dijk. Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
You'll never walk alone.
Let's bring the panel back in for this last part as well, because let's throw it forward, fellas, if we may, to the four games that sit between now and New Year. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about Spurs on Sunday. Leicester at Anfield on Boxing Day. I'm sure all three of you well are aware of that. Two of you will probably be there, full of turkey and fizzy drinks, no doubt, for the evening kickoff. Then West Ham away, and then, of course, Manchester United just after the New Year. So, Dan Morgan, how many points are Liverpool taking from those little four?
I mean, considering there was people a couple of weeks ago saying we haven't played anyone yet, and we've not played either a West Ham or Leicester still, feels quite mind-blowing, doesn't it? I think you've got to expect Liverpool to take maximum. That being said, you know, I think Jason's right before when he said if this maybe didn't go our way tonight, there'd maybe be a few questions coming in. But I think Liverpool, look, I think if they end up with 10 points from those games, you're not pulling your hair out saying it's the end of the world, but you would definitely expect them, the two in the middle, to be victories with the state West Ham are in. I think Liverpool can go and beat Tottenham at their ground. I think Chelsea's shown them up for how naive they can be. That being said, you know, Tottenham are a side that can still go to City and win 4-0, so we'll take the points on not knowing what you're getting from them. And I think the Manchester derby was a positive if you're watching that from a team that's coming up against either of those sides. I think Liverpool, the way Man United set up, okay, they get a bit lucky, I think, on Sunday, and they have some praise for how they play, but they set up in that 3-4-3 against us, and they take some of the risks they take. If we're aggressive, if we're on them, I think we can beat them quite comfortably, to be honest, and given the fact it's at Anfield, I think that one is one we should be looking to relish, to be honest. I think Sunday's massive in terms of confidence. I think we're going to know after Sunday where we're really at. There's been a couple of times in games recently that we haven't won where, you know, I don't think we've started great. I don't think we've had enough intensity. And I think it's interesting tonight. You just see them getting a little bit of territory early. They just go long over the top a few times and little things like that. You know, they go a long way, and I think in the first half an hour in some of them games that are coming up are going to be crucial. So, you know, let's rid ourselves of what we've shown in terms of a couple of frustrating results since Newcastle. And hopefully, you know, these are games, like the guys have said, they can be enjoyed. They're going to be exciting.
Definitely. Festive fun. Jose, how many points?
As Dan said, we should expect 12 points from these four matches. And also, I believe, of course, Spurs and Man United games are very tough games, but we need to be aggressive. I think we have the team, and I've liked Liverpool on specifically on the second halves. I believe this team is built to be better on the second halves. A good example, last weekend against Fulham, one man down and trailing on the score as well, and Liverpool was dominant even with those circumstances. So yeah, I believe we can expect the maximum points, and we should win the four games.
That is the right answer. Thank you very much, Jose. Josh, Neil made the point earlier about momentum. You win one, you win, or you feel like, and you're ready for victory in the next one. That's where Liverpool are at, isn't it?
Yeah, this generally how it goes at Christmas as well, isn't it? Like you've got a game every 3 days for a really long time, and some of the other teams navigating the winter period, such as Leicester, maybe, you know, are not used to playing this often. So maybe Liverpool can just grind through in those games. And I think one thing with that schedule as well is, you know, if you look at the likes of Spurs, Leicester, West Ham especially, it feels like you're going to get chances. You know, you're going to get a lot of space against those teams and a fair amount of shots to put them away if you can take them. And I think Manchester United, to be honest, I feel like with that game, the Anfield will take us a certain way towards the results. And you know, they are getting to grips with the new system. There's always issues with that and building from the back and things like that. So doing it inside a tight stadium, I don't think Amorim has ever visited Anfield. So it'll be a different experience for him, I'm sure. And they're already, you know, experiencing issues when it comes to that sort of thing. So to play like that in the cauldron that is Anfield, and I'm sure it'll be dark by the time we kick off, you know, that'll be difficult. So I'm with everyone else so far. I think 12 points is what we can expect, and I think we'll just keep rolling momentum-wise and probably establish a bit more of a gap than we currently have.
Lovely. Christmas every 2 days for Liverpool fans. Thank you very much, Josh, Jose and Dan. Great to have your company. Really appreciate your input. Thank you all three. What kind of Tottenham are Liverpool preparing for? One in, I don't know, on the roller coaster?
Yeah, you don't know.
Inconsistent. You know, the lads mentioned there that they've gone to City and got a big result. I think I look at Tottenham a bit like Newcastle. It can be one of those games where the crowd can play a big part.
Yeah.
You know, if they're in the game, then they can get something from it. Now, they've got big key players missing, which gives us a chance. Now, we don't necessarily take them chances. And if we don't take them chances, Spurs might. That could be a potential game where we drop points. West Ham away is our toughest game in the next four. And the reason being, it's less than 72 hours having played Leicester. That's a bit of a problem for me in terms of West Ham. Yeah, not great. They've got, obviously, the manager's away on a personal issue at the moment as well. Yeah. There's a lot of things going on at West Ham.
Yeah.
And that can be a difficult game. We went there and drew. If that were, had a longer breather time between it, I'd be fully confident of the 3 points. And just to say, the next two games we play after Chelsea. Chelsea are going to put the pressure on us. They've got Everton away, Fulham at home. I expect them to win them games. We have to go to Spurs to go back top of the table. Beat Leicester to go back top of the table. A bit more pressure there.
Just keep winning.
Momentum, yeah. I think it breeds confidence. I think if you look at the points we dropped, Newcastle, unfortunate mistake by Quaveen. Otherwise, it's a win. And then numerical advantage goes to Fulham. And unfortunately, we end up just taking a point. But really, 11v11, we take the points.
Yeah.
So it's not like we've been beaten. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of our own doing, really. I agree with you. I don't know what you're going to get with Tottenham. You know, if they turn up, it could be a really tough afternoon. But then again, you know, Liverpool have been tremendous on the road. I think it's how he navigates the squad, how he picks and chooses. You know, he has to rotate at some point, and it's whether he does that, you know, to enough to win the games.
Yeah, well, he's starting to, isn't he?
But he's getting all the players back.
He is.
So he's got a lot choices. More options.
Yeah. He's got choices. Like Jason and his cardigans, he's got a lot of choices.
Got a few of these.
Who's surprised at that? News. And that is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Sunday, of course, with more analysis and exclusive interviews from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium after Liverpool take on Ange Postecoglou's side in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.